We are now talking about Duma. Now the question is, what exactly is Duma? Masa Duma, a parable or a prophecy over Duma, a Lai Koreme Seir, they call out to me from Seir, Shomer, O guardian, Mami Laila, right? What is with the night? Shomer, guard, Mami Lel. What will be with this night? Now here's an interesting thing. After Yeshaya tells the people that they're going to suffer at the hands of the Babylonians, I mean the people of Babel, right? That their suffering will eventually come to an end. So the Jewish people come along and they tell him, they ask him a question. They say, listen, the exile in Babel was 70 years. What's going to be with this? What's going to be with Rome? Western civilization, everything like that. I mean, you haven't given us a limit. How long is it going to last?
How do we call, Rome Edom? If Edom was like in Jordan, how did it
because
get to Rome?
Eliphaz, Ben Esav went up to Europe at some point. Svo became the leader at some point. Some medrash. But Svo is the one who went to Egypt. He went around. Svo, by the way, is the gematria of Polin. It's from, yeah, give me a second. I'm going to remember this as I go through. It's the end of the Kava Yasher at the very, very end. And he goes through and explains how his land was Poland, but he went straight to Italy, took over Italy and Greece. And then it brings down like all these Greek mythological, like this crazy creature that he was able to kill, like an Akhet or something like that, like a crazy little Medrash, and that he took over the entire area, and that he was the guy. That was Tzvo, and he sent ships against Egypt at some point, but that was Tzvo, Ben Eliphaz, Ben Esav. He mentioned the Sefer Adoros and the Sefer Yasher. The Sefer Yasher that goes through like this little history stuff. So Tzvo is the reason why Edom is known as Europe. Because normally that would be Yafes, right? That would be the children of Yafes. That's not anybody from Esav. But that's why we call Edom, you know, that idea. But Duma is known.
Asia, no?
No, Asia should have been Semitic. It should have been Avram's kids. That's what it should have been.
Really? They don't look so Semitic. Yeah.
Which ones?
Asians? In general?
See, I don't know if the Asians are from Yafes or they're from Avram Avinu, but we do say in this week's parsha that Avram Avinu sent over all of his kids, these six extra kids, right, that he had at the end of his life, sent them over to the east. So it seems that they were the ones who started everything. Now, they're definitely the Indians. That's already from Josephus, where Josephus says that the people of India stemmed from Avram Avinu's children. Yeah, whether they went to China, I don't know. That's a good question.
So where did Yafes kids go?
Eastern Europe. That's without a question. They went to Europe. Shame took over the Semitic area right around Mesopotamia / whatever to the east, and Shame Achum went to Africa. That was supposed to be the difference. Duma is called the endless exile, the mute exile. We were not told what's going to happen, right? There's not going to be anything whatsoever. So they're going to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the guardian of the night. They're going to say, what's going to be what? Now look at that, by the way. It seems that it's double. Now why is it double? Because again, there's going to be times where it's going to seem it's going to end. And they're going to say, like, what's with the night? And then all of a sudden it starts to dawn, and they're like, oh, all right, it's happening right now. But then, no, it doesn't happen. So they say again, guardian, what's with the night? What's going on here? Why is it happening this way? Omer Shomer, says the guardian, he says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Az Boker V'Gam Laila, the morning has come, and so to the night. Into Ayun V'Ayu, Shuvu Esayu. If you really want it, then it will come. Return yourself, do tshuva, and it will come. In other words, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, at any time. If you really want it to come, there's a chance for any person, a single person, to be able to do enough tshuva to be able to bring about Mashiach. There's an ability for that to happen. The people aren't ready, though. So if you want the night to really end, for Golos to mamish end, then you have to fully return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make people come with it. Any one person has the ability to cause a temporary geula. Something can happen where there is a temporary geula, called that a Mashiach ben Yosef type of thing, where you can cause something to happen. You can have, I'm giving this an example, I'm not saying this is what it is, a Ramosha Feinstein that can turn things around and make a geula for America and like bring about like Torah in America, or Aaron Cutler or somebody like that. Just giving that as an example. There can always be a single individual who has the ability to do such things, but to save all the Jews together, that is the schus of all of Klal Yisrael together. And it's happened many times where there's been possibilities, chances, whatever, but they've been lost. And then Masa Barov. Then he wrote a prophecy about Arabia. Bayar Barov. Okay? Talinu Orchos Didanit. Or all those guests of the Didanit, it seems Didan, you know, was one of the kids, I think, of Yishmael in this week's Parsha, but it's referring to these Arabs, right? I want you to camp in those forests of Arab, of Saudi Arabia. Likras Tomei Sayumayim. And here's how the Arabians can have success. If they greet the thirsty ones and bring them water. Yoshvei Eretz Tema Balach Mokidmu Nodei. Those who live in the southern lands, in that area, right? If they greet them with bread and allow them to go. He's telling the Arab people, you guys want to be saved from what's going to be lost level, what's going to happen? If you're going to be okay, then stay as close as you can to the caravan areas where the caravans go and offer them food and water. Don't rob them. Don't steal from them. Don't take their stuff and act as, you know, as least in. That's not what you do. You want to really act like good people, then offer people food as they're going through.
Hospitality is a known thing. They're like known to like
to other Arabs. They do it to others as well.
No,
who do they invite in?
It's a Bedouin thing. It's only if you go to their tent.
No, it's Arabs too. And this guy in Arab Shook once invited me in for tea and coffee.
Wait, hold on. No. He just explained every Arab. That is what? 500 million Arabs taken care of.
There is a line that you can run into a Bedouin tent. The way it goes like this. Once you go into a Bedouin, maybe they take it from there. But I don't know how the urban Arabs are, because they weren't urban. They were all Bedouins at one point. Once you go into their tent, into their house, well, that's because it's from Avram. They have an honor thing that they have to protect you.
Right.
Even if you're their enemy, when Klal Yisrael was on the way to Babel,
the Arabs greeted them with empty flasks, right? Empty flasks and poisoned bread. And they gave it over to the Jews while they were out there, and they were killed. We know that there were robbers, highway robbers, right, throughout the land that were Arabs.
If you go to their tents,
that makes a little bit more sense.
You only go to their tents.
That's what it seems. But it says, if you do this, then you'll be saved. That's his line. They're going to run away from the sword. These Arab people eventually are going to be fleeing because of the sword. Because of the outstretched sword, because of the arrows, the bows that are against them. Because of the heaviness of war. In another year, like the years of a hired worker, the Kalakol Kvod Kedor, all of Kedor will be able to end. Now, I don't know what Kedor is, but it seems that Kedor is referring to one of the lands in the east, one of those Arabic lands, but I'm not positive exactly where that is. Ushar Mispas Kashes, Mispar Kashes Giborim B'nei Kedar, and the rest of the number of the archers from the Giborim of B'nei Kedar, Yimatu, they are going to dwindle. Kesham Laki Yisrael Diber, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to speak. So the people of Kedor right there, very quickly, do we have a Chumash right? Oh, you have that Tanakh, right, very quickly. Oh yeah, you have it right there? The names of Abba, these names are just familiar. Is this what we talked about at the very, very end? Kedor is the second son born after what's it called? Duma, by the way, was also a son of Avraham. Duma and Kedor, even though we already said that Duma was referring to Edom, right? But Duma was one of the kids of Avraham afterward. And then the other guys that we mentioned over here, Didan, right? The Didanim that were mentioned were also, that was one of the kids of, what's it called? Yokshan, right? That was born over there. So some of these people apparently are the children of Avraham, right, that are in these lands. Also, so let's go to Perek Kof Beis. Mazagei Chazon. This is the prophecy on the Valley of Vision. Okay, this is the Valley of Vision. Malach Efo, right? Here, at least a Kulach Lagagos. Yeah, we're going to see. It's going to be Yerushalayim. Malach Efo. What is with you now that you've all gone on top of your roofs? So here's the idea behind it. The reason why it's called the Valley is because the people debased themselves. They did terrible things, and they lowered themselves in the eyes of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that even though Yerushalayim is the highest place on earth spiritually, it is going to be the lowest place on earth. But they're going to raise the roofs. They're going to go to the roofs to look down at the Babylonian armies and say, yeah, we'll be able to win. We're going to be able to take down Babel. Babel's not going to be a problem for us. And Yeshaya said, this is what's going to happen. Shuos Malaya, right? Ir Homia. This is a loud city, right? That is filled with hustling and bustling. Kiria Aliza, right? A city city that is full of joy. The people that are going to die in your city are not going to be dying by the sword. They're not going to die by war. All of your leaders are going to be lost together. From the bow, they are going to stop themselves. They're not even going to be able to shoot an arrow. All those that are found are going to be rounded up. The ones who had fled far away, they're all going to be there. This is what's going to happen. The leaders are going to run at the time when Yerushalayim needs them the most. The people that are right there, when you're in these ideas of, oh, we're going to be fine, everything's going to be okay, that's exactly when they're going to come back and kill you. Sidkia tried running away at the very, very end. We remember he was the one that was caught toward the very, very end. Alkina Marti, Shu'um Mini Amarer. Therefore I say, leave me alone, Babechi. Amarer Babechi. Let me cry bitterly. This is referring to Yeshaya, obviously. Do not try to console me. I'll show Basami because I've seen the destruction of my people, and Yeshaya is crying. I'm watching what's going to happen in the times when Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan come into the city. It's going to be a day of confusion. It's going to be tumult. Confusing. In that area, in the Valley of the Vision, in Yerushalayim. They're going to demolish all the walls and all the foundations, right? And they'll scream out to the mountains. That's what he's saying. And he mamish sees it. He sees the Hester upon him. He sees how Kadosh Baruch Hu's going to turn his face, and that's that. I'm talking about bubble seams, right? So it seems like he's referring to the first face of Mikdash.
What a, like, for like a holy guy, what a terrible, like, curse in a way.
What, that he had to watch this happen?
Yeah, no, he had to see it happen before it even happened. Yeah. He's like watching like a train wreck.
I know there was a movie. I'm not referring to the movie. I'm sure the movie was absolutely terrible. But have you ever read The Giver?
Yeah.
It's the gift of knowing everything. The gift of knowing everything. The point behind the book is that when you have this gift of seeing beyond what it is, you know, the other things out there, then you feel the pain of all the people that were out there. That was the idea of what The Giver stood for, whatever. That you can't just put it all in one person and forget everything else. Well, ignorance is bliss, but it destroys. It's important to have something there. Again, I don't know what the movie's like. The book, the famous book, but it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story.
Okay, why was he asked?
Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, who wants to do this? Yeshaya called out and said, me, pick me. I'll go ahead and do it. Took this upon himself.
Before God saying he wants to do this.
I know. It is a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You heard it, so you might as well be it. 100%, I do agree with that. But nonetheless, that meant that he was ready for it. That he saw that vision, obviously he was ready for it. So it is, I don't know. Honestly, would you choose, again, I've asked this to tens of people, would you choose to have Parkinson's disease if it meant that you would become a leader of the generation like Reuel Sutfinkel? Would you choose that for yourself? Because not always. For a person like Reuel Sutfinkel, that was the trade-off.
How do we know?
Would you choose that?
How do we know that? How do we know that he not had Parkinson's disease?
Wait, what is it?
I hear you. We don't know. Let's say that that's the idea.
Why would anybody want to be the leader?
After he became Rosh Yeshiva. It was 2 or 3 years after he became Rosh
Yeshiva. When did he become Rosh Yeshiva?
When Reb Chaim Shalevitz passed away. Or of Eliezer Yudel passed away. I don't remember, in 80, 90 something?
In the 90s?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Is he a prize fighter?
What?
No. Thank you for it.
Okay, the Elam Nasa Ashba. Elam is going to, they're the experts in the quiver and the bow. Okay, they're going to come Berechav Adam with chariots of riders, Parushim, right? Those are the riders. The Kir Elam again, and Kir will bear their shields. Those are the people. So we don't really exactly know. Elam is somewhere near Bubble. Kir must be another part near Bubble, and that's what it's referring to. Bayihi Mivchar Makayach, even your choicest valleys. Rakhav HaParashim, they're going to be filled with chariots and horsemen. Shos Shasua Sha'aran, they will head straight for the gates to destroy the gates of Yerushalayim. By Galos Masach Yudah, they're going to open up all of the fortifications of Yudah. And you only look toward the arms in the forest palace on that day. Meaning, you only said, oh, maybe there are people that are going to come from the forest. Remember, Shlomo Melech made that other palace in the forest of Yerushalayim?
So
it was an extra palace, a summer home. And you're going to look toward them to ask for help.
Was it in the forest of Yerushalayim, or was it in the north? He had a summer home in the north.
Did he say that?
I think someone was in like the
we
Galilee.
The forest. No, not that far. No, we're talking about it was outside of Yerushalayim.
No, it was in Lebanon. It was in Lebanon.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I remember.
Not, I mean, not in Guatemala.
Are you sure?
Somewhere else. Yeah, positive.
Where we saw a picture of the house?
Yeah, positive.
Where was that picture?
Yeah, it was not there. It was not in Lebanon. They had theaters from Lebanon. No, remember in the Mian Louis, you had little pictures inside there.
Pictures.
They had little pictures. But no, it was not. That was from, they had theaters from Lebanon, but it was outside Yerushalayim. There's the key Ir David, and then all the breaches in the city of David, you saw them, there were so many. You gathered water from the lower pool. You started to be, you only started preparing after everything was already in the city. They had already breached the walls. You're like, oh, we should go get the weapons from that area over there. That's when you start realizing. You only then do you start drawing water and taking water out to be able to prepare yourself for what's going to be during that type of siege. You count out the houses of Yerushalayim, right? And you started pulling down those houses to fortify the walls. But it's too late. That's when you built a moat between the walls, in order to lead up to the old pool, Hayashana. But you didn't look to the maker. You did all these preparations. You tried to get yourselves ready. Too late, but at least you tried to do that. But not once did you dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You forgot the maker, the creator, the one who's from far away, the ancient one, that you never looked toward. Now, that could apply to what's going on today as well. I'm not saying anything, because obviously I don't know what these people do behind closed doors, like the Prime Minister or the President or whatever. I have no idea what they do behind closed doors. And maybe they are. Maybe they are doing this as well. But you can't go to war and expect to win any type of thing like this, right, without davening, without doing tefillah. How do you not get involved with this? You have to say out loud that I am davening to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and put your trust in a Kodesh Baruch Hu and not just assume that your army is going to take care of everything. You have to do your preparation, that's fine, but prepare together with tefillah. On that day, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to call out to his host in the heavens, to all the malachim, and he's going to tell them, cry, give hespedim, tear out your hair, obviously it's impossible in malachim, but the concept, right, and wear don sackcloth. It is sasim v'sim ka harog bakor v'shakol tzon. There's going to be rejoicing and happiness. You're going to slaughter the cows, shech the sheep, akol basi v'shasuz yayin, eat meat, drink wine, akol v'shasoki makar amus. People are going to sit there on that day when all the hosts in the heavens and all the malachim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is donning sackcloth and crying over the fact that they're about to be destroyed. The people are going to say, well, we got one day left to party. We might as well make the most of this time, right? Yeah. Tomorrow we'll die. And that's the idea. They're going to get up there. They're going to see the end is near, and they're going to use it to do evil instead of treating it as if it's the last day of their life. They should do tshuva.
I can't really knock the idea, though.
Then we have a lot more to work on than just this. But yes, that is exactly what the problem is. When the end is near, and you're sitting there, and you're eating and drinking and satisfying your lusts, as opposed to looking back at a Kodesh Baruch Hu and asking for mercy.
Can't you both?
A little bit of a problem. No, impossible. No.
Can't you drink and be merry?
You can. You'll just die. The Nigro, the Oznai, Hashem Sivakos, it has come before it was revealed.
I'm agreeing, but
I know,
on Yontif, though, the whole, like, isn't there an idea of drinking and being merry and at the same time doing Avodah?
Meaning the Yira has to come through Ava. Yes, 100%. This is too late for that. This is the time when you should be crying. You're
also
dying tomorrow.
There's a different the simcha,
right.
Like everything is geared around the avoda.
Right here is geared towards.
What do you do on Yom Kippur?
Right.
What do you do on Yom Kippur?
Agreed.
And what's Yom Kippur like? Is it like the Tel Aviv beach where you're getting everybody together and everybody's sitting and partying together and they're having the Yom Kippur party?
A happy day.
Is that the Suda? Not hopefully only Arabs are there, but regardless, that's what it is. In Nigla Basnei Hashem Tzvakos, it's revealed in the ears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yechupar Avon Hazeh. Will this sin ever be atoned for? Lechem Atzimusun, until you die, Amar Hashem Elokim Tzvakos. Now, he says, he looks at them and he says, there's only one way for you to get a kapara for the fact that you're partying in this way, and it's literally only by death. I hate to put it this way. You're partying because you say, well, tomorrow we're going to die. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have no choice but to kill you. What else am I going to do at this point? And now we get to the bad one. So says God Elokim Tzvakos. I don't know why it keeps being mentioned as Hashem Elokim Tzvakos. Let bo el asofen hazeh, go to this appointee, Al Shevna. Go to Shevna, Asher al Abayis, who is in charge of the palace. Go up to Shevna. Who is Shevna? Shevna, if you'll remember, is the friend, so to speak, of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He was another Rosh Hashiva. He was in charge of the royal palace. He was in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, but he enjoyed material pleasures. He liked getting involved and embezzled certain certain treasures that he was supposed to take care of. Chizkiah tried to get back at him, tried to tell him to stop, but Shebna was extremely powerful and had a lot of people that were on his side. So when
what
he came...
tribe was he part of?
I'm sorry?
Where?
Remember Chizkiah and Shebna?
No, Shebna was part of where? Who did he come from?
I don't think we know. I don't think we know anything else about him. No. Well, he's Jewish. Rav Sheka.
Rav
Sheka was a ger, though. We don't know exactly ger. He was a Jew who might have gone off.
He might have been.
Yeah, that might have been the min. Yeah, well, yeah, that's a little bit of a kasha. Okay, there is a Rav Sheka that is Chizkiah's son, but he probably killed him. So, yeah, I don't know if it's the same person altogether.
Oh, Shebna was a messenger.
I don't know. I don't know.
Jesus?
Jesus is not Jesus. The claim that Shebna had homosexual tendencies.
Where?
This was, I thought that would be fun.
Sokhenet. I don't remember that from Rashi. It's a Gemara Sanhedrin. It's a Chalik. That's interesting. But that's what Shebna was involved with. He was involved in trying to find everything that was right over there.
Voluptuous is an awesome word.
Remember, when it came to Sennacherib, he tried to find a way to go out there. Does everybody remember what happened with him? Sennacherib, right, was outside the walls. Shebna sent a message outside the walls and said, Shebna and all of his followers are on your side. When he went to go bring his men outside, the Malachim closed the gate behind him. All his followers were locked inside, and Shebna went out by himself, and they took him and they killed him in a very, very terrible way. They tied his legs to horse tails and they let him ride through the thing until he died. Malachapo, Umilachapo, what have you here, Shebna? They did the Sennacherib to Shebna. Umilachapo, who do you have here? That you dug a grave for yourself in this area. You have carved out your own home in this stone itself. Meaning, you may have been from Kutzlar, Shebna, wherever he was from, but nonetheless, you hewed a grave for yourself. Chazal say that Shebna chose a site for himself in the area where David HaMelech was buried. He said, well, I should be buried among the great tzaddikim of Yerushalayim. And he made his burial spot right there, but he was never buried there. And Hashem, Hashem threw you around, hold on, Gaver, should have been paying attention instead of talking to him. Yeah, if you tell Tela Gaver, right, he was going to throw you around strongly, and he's going to chase you away like a bird. He's going to throw you around like a ball, Kadur. To a larger land, to a wide open space. Shama Tamuz, that's where you'll die. Shama Markos Kodecha, and that's where your chariots of honor, Klom Beis Adonecha, that will be the disgrace of your master Sennacherib's house. What happened again? For all of his arrogance, for all of his embezzling, because everything he did end up getting leprosy. He was thrown out of the city, so to speak. But he never actually got thrown out of the city. As we said, he stood by the door, right, and he tried to lead his forces out to Sennacherib, and the Malachim closed the door behind him, and he went out by himself. Sennacherib, thinking that he was mocking him, took him, tied him to horse tails, and then let him get killed. Right? That's that. In Sennacherib's area, Sennacherib was Shebna's master. Where Sennacherib's army was destroyed, where their disgrace was, that's where Shebna's going to die. You made your own kever by Ir David? Dude, you're not going to be buried anywhere near Ir David. Your body is going to be disgraced in the fields along with Sennacherib's army. I would assume they buried them.
180,000?
It surely took them a long time. But yes, I would assume they buried them. Otherwise, you're going to have tons and tons of animals around there, which would not be good for anyone. Yeah, the whole area. I'm going to drive you from your area. I'm going to strip you of your status. At that time, I'm going to call my servants El Yakim, the son of Chilkiah. You're going to be replaced. El Yakim, the son of Chilkiah. Chilkiah was a Kohen Gadol. El Yakim was also possibly a Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now he's going to take over everything that Shebna did. He's going to wear your ksonas, the avnei tekel, and your belt. Achaz kenu, I will strengthen him, and I will put your rulership into his hands. And he will be a father to all the people of Yerushalayim, and for all the people of Judah, he is going to be there. Now, I don't know if Shebna was ever a Kohen Gadol. If Shebna was actually a Kohen, he was a Kohen Gadol. If not, it just means the garments of, what's it called, the garments of a leader. Meaning, Shebna was the leader, he will now be the leader, the person in charge.
There's an opinion that says he was.
That he was the king.
That according to the sages, who hold that Shebna was the high priest.
Okay, he's not mentioned in Yuma when Tosus goes through the 18, possibly, Kohanim Gedolim of the first base of Mikdash. He's not mentioned there. So it could be that at some point he was, or whatever, he's just not mentioned, but he's not mentioned there. Menasati Mavteach Beis David El Shechmo. I'm going to put the keys of the house of David and Malach, in other words, all of the Malchus Beis David, is going to be on his shoulders. Uposach Bein Soger. What he opens, no one else will close. The Soger Bein Posach, what he closes, no one else is going to open. He is going to perceive this whole responsibility is on his shoulders. He gets to take care of it, and he will take it seriously. Not like you, Shebna. He's going to take it seriously, and he's going to make sure to do it.
Why would Shebna say that he deserves to hear David and Malach? He's a Kohen. Is there a special place for Kohanim and David? That was a different.
Maybe that's why he felt that he was special enough to be buried there. Maybe not in the, maybe not exactly in the Kever, but near the Kever could still be a possible. Could be where Kohanim Gedolim were buried. I don't know.
Well, that is near the Beis Hamikdash.
Close. I mean, it's near the, by the Armenian quarter now.
Yeah, we don't know if it's somewhere there.
Yeah. Well, that's the cave opening. The cave opening is around there. Where the cave actually is, I don't know.
Yeah, by the Desperate Show, they have covered everything.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's something underneath, meaning it goes all the way underneath. It's in the ground. It's a cave. So it's somewhere there. It's just all the way underneath. I hope it's not the same one. No, Governor Miller wouldn't allow that. Uskati Yaseid, the Makom Neman. I will plant him as a peg in a place where it's trustworthy. He's going to have a high honor in the house of his father. All the honor of his father's house will be with him. That's the os. All the young ones, I believe, and all the grandchildren. Right? And that's the area where you're going to have everything. The basins to the guitars, everything. Everybody's going to take pride in him. Everybody's going to treat him with that. There's going to be peace in the times where he's going to be in charge. Now, we don't mention Chilkiah very often. When we talk about Chizkiah, we talk about Chizkiah being the guy. But he had a right-hand man like Chilkiah, who was the Kohen Gadol. Obviously, things are going to go... He's the Kohen Gadol. Things are going to go well with him. The peg which had been firmly driven in this place will loosen. It's going to split and fall, breaking the lid which hung for it, for God has spoken. In other words, exactly when Shebna falls, that's when Eliakim rises. That's exactly the time where it's going to happen, and that is that. Now, we're going on to Tyre. Chapter 23 over here. Masatsur. Helilu Anios Tarshish. Cry out loud, ships of Tarshish. Kishudad mi base, mi bayis, mi bo me'eretz kitim, niglalamo. Because their houses have been destroyed and cannot be entered into. From the land of Kitim, it was revealed to them. Okay. This is a port city on the eastern side of the Mediterranean. This city called Tarshish. Okay. Whatever the city of Tarshish was, they had something. It was like an area of commerce that was there.
Isn't it widely debated what Tarshish actually was?
I can imagine.
I've read it in regular historical books. Spain.
It's Spain?
Yeah.
So maybe Tsur was on the eastern side and Tarshish was all the way on the west? That's possible that Tsur was... Where is Tyre exactly? I would assume it's somewhere near Lebanon. Yeah, it's near there. So that was supposed to be something great. So maybe it's like that. So the people of Tyre, because they were in the middle of the trade of the Mediterranean and everything went through them, they had a tremendous amount of gaiva. They viewed themselves as demigods and they allowed themselves to think that they were the center of the world. Right? They thought themselves that way. King Hiram, right, the one that gave all the wood over to Shlomo Melech and everything, he was the king of Tyre. He was the king of Tsur. Hiram Melech Tsur. And he was the guy who was there, but he used it in a positive way. He gave money over to Shlomo Melech and did everything in a good way. That's the idea of what he was going to do. What were we saying?
Didn't he build that temple?
Eventually, toward the end of his life, which was hundreds of years apparently, he became evil, right? So at some point, something happened very, very badly, right? Tyre deserved to be destroyed. It was desolate at the end of the day for 70 years. This seems to have happened before Chizkiyahu's time, or maybe right after Chizkiyahu's time. At any point, he definitely made a bris at some point with Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Pasuk Beis, Domu Yoshvei I Socher Tzidon Over Yom Miluch. All the people are living in the islands. All the people are from Tzidon, right? All the ocean crossers, they've made you full. And you're going to be silent now. Over my Rabbim Zera Shichur, over many waters, the seed of Shichur, Kitzir Yor, to The Nile's harvest became your grain. You were a center of commerce for everybody else. You were able to take in all the stuff from everywhere else, and everybody went to you to bring their stuff. Right? That's what ended up happening. Boshit Sidon. Now, Sidon is going to be embarrassed. Yomer Yam may oz li hayom lemor. Because the ocean has said, that the fortress of ocean has said, Lo chalti v'lo yiladati. I have no birth pains. I have not given birth. I have not raised boys nor brought up girls. In other words, the people that are living in the city are going to be gone as if nothing was ever there in the first place. Now, I've heard of this before. There is a famous story, but I don't know exactly who it was with. I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't too long ago, 400, 500, 600 years ago, where the Pope had control over all the ports in the Mediterranean Sea. And the Jews were the porters. And the Pope came up with this plan of what he wanted to do, and all the Jews got together and they switched the port that they started using. Instead of using the port that was run by the Pope, they used a different port, and they literally decimated the entire economy of that city, and all the people went out, and the Pope lost tons and tons of money. I don't remember exactly what it was. I have it down in a story of mine from years ago. Yeah, it was a big love that did it also. I don't know if it was after the Crusades or I don't remember. It was around the year of the 1492, around the Inquisition. It was around, I don't remember, but it was a long time ago, right? But they ended up doing it. It just makes sense to me. These places, always, they were extremely popular at the time. But if at any point anyone decided, you know what, we're all going to go here now, then the whole city, there was nothing left. They literally had nothing there. There was nothing going on in that area. If, in theory, let's just say, all people decided, instead of using Chicago as the main hustle and bustle city for the O'Hare Airport, to be the middle city of all these different flights, instead they just decided, you know what, we're all going to use St. Louis. We're just all going to go to St. Louis. Right? If everyone decided, United and American and all these different airlines would just decide one day to just get up and be like, we're all going to St. Louis, the economy of Chicago, of O'Hare Airport, would be destroyed overnight. You'd lose unbelievable amounts of money.
The economy of the city is already destroyed, but...
Okay, it would get worse. It would get worse, in other words. But that's what that would end up being. Because once you lose that amount of money so quickly, everything's gone. And that seems to be what happened at Tsur. Overnight, people decided, you know what, we're not going to Tsur anymore. Either they were taxed too much or something happened to them. They decided, we're out. We're no longer doing this. Kasher Shema LeMitzrayim, as there have been great news regarding Mitzrayim, Yachilu Kishema Tsur. Meaning, just like they heard about what happened in Mitzrayim years ago when the Jews left, the exact same thing is going to happen about Tsur. People are going to tremble when they hear what happened at Tsur. Ivru Tarshisha Heilu Yoshvi'i. Move out to Tarshish. Cry out loud, all the people of the islands. Hazos Lacham Alizam Yimekadam. Is this the city that was joyous from all the days of old? Kadmasi Ovilu Gragla. Look what happened to you. Your feet carried you to live in faraway places because you can no longer stay there. They're reminiscing now that, oh my gosh, it's crazy. This is the city of Tsur that everybody once lived in. Who was the one that planned all this on Tsur? Hamatira, the crowned, crowned city. Whose merchants were all princes. The people were traitors, were honored men. The only person who could was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To crush the pride of their glory. I'm just saying that Tzvi once again means beauty. I'm pointing that out once again. To knock down and humiliate all the honored ones of that land. Not only does not get old, we just got to remind ourselves once in a while. Sometimes we forget. Move on, right, like the river, right, like a river would. Move your land, right, all, from your country to the Tarshish. There is no harbor to be able to hold the ships anymore. By the way, I guess I don't know if anything happened naturally. It doesn't say anywhere in this parak that something naturally happened to the shores of Tyre. But if in theory, right, there was an earthquake or something that would happen nearby that would knock down their ports and they immediately there was nothing left, it would make sense also that there would be nothing there. Forget about everybody deciding we're not going there anymore.
Alexandria.
Yeah, that makes sense. If something happened, a major like world event, and that would destroy anybody going around. What happened then?
Wasn't there an earthquake or some sort of natural phenomenon that sunk the port?
Yeah. It was one of the seven wonders of the port of Alexandria.
Yeah. And
same thing happened
totally
in the road.
Totally destroyed. But how? There's no earthquake. There's no fault line here.
The earthquakes.
Earthquakes? You can't get a tsunami in the Mediterranean Sea. You can get a small one. I don't know. Maybe.
There also was in Rhodes, in Greece. They said and there was another one under there. There was an earthquake and it collapsed into the sea.
In Greece.
Yeah.
Yadu Natal Ayam. He stretched his hand over the sea. Shirgiz Mamlakos Hashem. He aroused the kingdoms. Hashem Siva Al Kanan Lashmi Uzanel. He commanded to destroy all of Canaan's fortresses. I guess whoever was there, I don't know what that means, you know, whether the Canaanim were living in Sur at the time, but maybe it also means just the merchants, because Canaan, it does mean merchants in a way. So it's not referring to the people of Canaan, it really refers to the people that were living in that area. Right? And he said, I don't want you to rejoice anymore, right? The oppressed one, Bisulas Batsidon, Kitim, right? Kumi Avori, Gam Shavlinach Loch. The people of Sidon, move on to Kitim, but even there you're not going to find rest. If I remember correctly, Kitim is Cyprus, right? That's the area of Cyprus. So move on to Cyprus. Forget about going anywhere else. I want you to move on to another island altogether, so you're never going to have rest over there. Was it Crete? Do you have the pasuk, the line that's mentioned over there? Do you have it down? Does it say anywhere over there that it could be Crete?
I think in Hebrew today, it's Kitim or the island of Crete.
You know what? I don't know. I have over here that it's Cyprus. You got to thank you, David. But you have what? Does anybody have any? So do you have anything down there that says anything about it? They say. Alaric's teaching Kumi Avori. It doesn't say anything else.
It says teaching.
It just doesn't. It doesn't say anything else.
This question.
Of where it is. Okay. It has down over here that it's Cyprus, but I don't know where he gets that from. Hein Eretz Kassim. Now remember, the land of the Kassians. Now that refers to the Babylonian land. Right? Lo Yashur Yisadol Litziyin.
It could be that they consider Cyprus and Crete as the same like group of islands.
Same area together. Like they're far away from one another. But Lo Yashur Yisadol Litziyin. Hekimu Bachunav Oru Armanosel Sama Lemapela. Didn't Ashur, right, found the area of the Kassim, in other words, the Babylonian area, for ships? They set up towers. They took all these problems. They made these huge areas, right? And now it's turned to ruin. In other words, this whole area, right, was founded as an area for piracy, says the Miamlales. That the pirates founded the city. And because it was an ill-founded city, therefore, this is why they eventually were destroyed. Says Yudalit, Hey, Lilu Anio Tarshish, Kishudan Ma'uzchen. Cry out loud, all the ships of Tarshish, for your fortress has been destroyed. Everything that's there. And again, Tarshish, who had a connection with the city of Tsur, they should cry because of what happened at Tsur itself. Maybe because now Tarshish to worry about what's going to be in the future. So on that day, Tsur will be forgotten for 70 years. After 70 years, then Tsur is going to be brought back. And the line is, Kishiras Hazona, like the Shira of Azona. They're going to be taken in as a Zona would, as a prostitute would be taken in by a family, by somebody that's out there, by a person that wants to be together. Tsur is going to be refounded, but in such a way where there's no power. Tsur doesn't have the power anymore. They're just the Zona of another nation. Somebody else is going to take it over and take it over for themselves, and that's that. Okay, and that's what it refers to. Ending the parak, it says, Tet Zion, Kechi Kinor, Sobi Ir Zona. Take a guitar, take a harp. Sobi Ir Zona, go around that city of Znus. Nishkacha ATV, Zona Nishkacha, the Zona that has been forgotten. A TV Nagain, Harbi Shir, Lamant Zacheri. Play it well. Sing a lot, right, so that you can be remembered. A Zona goes from city to city or from person to person to try to woo them into taking her home with them. And so Tsur is going to try to go around and try to get the people that used to give them all their stuff, right, and say, come back to me. I'm a port city again. You should remember, I'm a port city again. But no longer is it going to be able to do so. At the end of those 70 years, Tsur will be remembered as Shavalas Nana. And it will come back. It'll get its gifts, and it will be a Zona to all the other nations. At that point, right, all of those profits that she makes, all the money that she makes, is going to be holy to God. They're not going to be kept by the people of Tsur, nor are they they're going to be inherited by the people of Tzur. Those who sit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are going to take everything that it owns, that it's going to be eaten in satiation, and they're going to have everything for Bnei Yisrael. Apparently, at this time, especially this happened before Chizkiyahu became king, then what Yeshaya was saying is that the people are going to come back, you're going to make a bris with the people of Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael is going to do business with you, and because Bnei Yisrael is doing business with you, then you're going to make all your money back, but it really belongs to the Bnei Yisrael. You'll keep a little bit, you'll keep enough of a profit to be able to keep your ports open, but the main idea of what's going to happen is that you're going to be able to have only a little bit, and they'll take the rest. It could be that this prophecy, these specific psukim at the very end, is really referring to the end of days. That Lebanon will then belong to Eretz Yisrael, and that the people of Lebanon will be subservient to what Bnei Yisrael want them to do. And at that moment, anything they have is really as a slave owes to a master. And that everything will be given over to them, and they'll work for Bnei Yisrael, so that Bnei Yisrael will be able to sit and enjoy what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has waiting for them. The nations that live around Tzur will then work for them and do everything for them. So it could be that that's what it's referring to over here. Either way. Okay, that's the end of Tzur. Parak of Dalet. And I know this seems like it's going all over the place. We really are going from one place to the other. We then get back to Ikhtas of the Mashiach. In the way that we've been learning in Yeshaya, remember that there are three parts altogether. It seems that he keeps going with nation being destroyed, you know, something about a nation, Mashiach. Nation, and then Mashiach. And it's the same way over here. He's now going to talk about what life is going to be like during the Ikhtas of the Mashiach, during the time right before Mashiach comes, when things are going to be terrible for Klal Yisrael. But that's when Mashiach is going to come.
This Pesach especially, yes.
Wasn't the book ordered in a more organized
way? It could be. I don't know. Maybe the Malvim goes through that, because I haven't been to the Malvim Chal. But it's possible that the reason why is because it seems like Yeshaya is getting so saddened by what he's seeing, he needs to revamp himself with another thought of, but at least Mashiach's coming. It sounds like that's what it is, where he's going through. If he would have just gone through everything together, he would have just fell down. He's already crying for Tzur. Who cries for Tzur? You know what I'm saying? Like he was crying for everybody. Now he's seeing this. Hashem is emptying the land and destroying it completely. The Eva Panel, he's going to destroy its face, and all the people living in it, he's going to scatter all around. He did. No doubt. But it was too much for him. Too much for him, one after the other, after the other, after the other. That's what I'm saying. And that's why he had to stop it, you know, after a while. I have nothing wrong with crying over somebody that's going to die. The problem is that he couldn't handle everything around here. This is what's going to happen. Hopefully this already happened, and then we don't have to worry about this anymore. Maybe this already happened, and now we're already in the times that are past the existence of Mashiach. Let's just hope that. But God is going to empty out the land and completely make it look desolate entirely. There's going to be nobody living in there. All the people that used to live there are going to be scattered throughout the nations of the world, everywhere else. All the masses are going to be treated like the great people out there. Even the spiritual leaders, the people that are rabbis, Kohanim Gedolim, the great men out there, are going to be treated all the same as the regular people. Ka'eved Kadunov, slaves will be treated like the masters. Kashifcha Kagvirto, like a maidservant to her mistress. Kakona Kamokar, this buyer like the seller. Kamalva Kalova, a lender like a borrower. Kanosha Kasher Noshavo, the creditor like the debtor. Everything. There will be corruption entirely in every way, shape, or form. And one of the reasons why the land is going to be destroyed is that people had no honor for the person above them. The people that they owed money to, they didn't treat them with respect. They treated them like garbage. Yeah, sure, you lend me a little bit of money, but I don't care. Yeah, just because you have money right now, that doesn't mean that I'm not great.
And they treat somebody better because that's interest.
Oh, Rivas. So that's true. That you can't give him back anything bad, but you have to still say thank you. What's the line? The famous line was when, I can't remember who it is. It was when I forgot who it was. Somebody was leaving and going home, and he told over to his Rebbe, or classical Levinshi it might have been, but he told over to his Rebbe he was leaving. So what it used to be is, in order to get money, you know, to go on these trains, because the Bachram didn't have any money in Yeshiva, they would borrow money from the Mashkiach. Mashkiach would give them the money, and then those people would go, they would go home, they would take the train ride home, and they would bring back money to pay back the Yeshiva. That's what they'd end up doing. So the Bachram would have money to pay it back. Okay, so obviously we were borrowing money and then paying it back afterwards. Right, so one of the Bachurim borrowed the money, went out back, and came back, and he told Mashkiach, he said, thank you so much, I appreciate it so much. And Mashkiach looked at him and said, Ribbit, this. It's possibly Reuben's Svara. How could you do that, right? The next time around, he borrowed the money the next time around, and then he came back, and when he came back, he gave the money with a solemn face, and he, like, looked away, right? So what's wrong with you? You don't say thank you for what you got? So the Bach said, Rebbe, last time I came, you told me it's Reuben's Svara. He said, you have to want to say thank you. You have to want it, you have to hold it back as if you can't hold it back anymore. You have to want it, and don't just show me. Don't show me that face. That was the line. I don't know. Fine. You have to do something, right, to show that you want to thank.
The way I would understand this, though, is that the whole world, like, meaning, you might think that you have different classes and everything, and that could be what causes a galus. People write Zinasina. Like, okay, he's higher than him, so he doesn't respect the person lower than him. But now you're in galus. Nobody cares if you're a Kohen, if you're a regular guy, if you're a rich person, a poor person. You're all the same. You're a Jew.
Very, very good. So at the end of the day, no matter what you have.
At the end of the day, you're in galus. You're going to be taught a lesson.
I thought originally, his line of recovery is that one of the reasons for the breakdown of society is that people didn't realize their place. That there are places in society, and that people do have to have respect for certain people. For example, you go into a judge, right, and you go in and you just be like, I'm doing what I want to do over here. I mean, the judge is the master
in, the court,
in that situation,
the
in that courthouse. In the, yeah, in that area. You treat a policeman. A policeman comes and pulls you over, and you're just like, yeah, what do you want? Obviously, the policeman's going to treat you like you deserve to be treated. There has to be some show of kavod, and they weren't showing it to anyone. So I hear what you're saying. A breakdown in society because you went ahead and you showed your superiority, and you showed them that you are the leader, therefore the breakdown of society is you're no better than anybody else. I get that.
Right.
The other way of looking at it, the way you're saying it is that they destroyed the society. The other ones, the ones that were lower, destroyed the society by not treating those who deserved the respect that they should have gotten with respect. They didn't show Rebbeim respect, they didn't show the leaders respect, they didn't show anyone respect, thinking we're as good as them. So really you could say it was both. The leaders made themselves look too good, and those who were not leaders made themselves look like, well, we could do whatever we want. In that case, Hibok Tibok Aretz. The land was emptied completely. The Hibos Tibos plundered completely. Keshem Diber, this is what God says, this is Dabar Azeh. He has said this is what has to be. Aklan Nabla Aretz Umlala. The land is going to be desolated. It's desolate. It's going to be destroyed. Umlala Pur. Nabla Tevel. The whole land is going to be abominable. Umlala Marom Ama Aretz. The most distinguished people that are on the earth are still going to be destroyed. Even those people. And it seems like it's almost steps, as if it's going one by one by one. First it's the land, then the world, and the distinguished people that are on it are going to be destroyed. If you take the lesson from the land being destroyed, if you take the lesson from everything else being destroyed, then you won't have to be destroyed. But if you don't, then you're going to go as well. The land was corrupted because of the people that lived in it. Because they were over on the Torah, because they took the laws of the Torah and they used it for their own, you know, for whatever they wanted. And they destroyed the bris of the world, the covenant of sin. Because of that, the land became corrupted. The land itself, literally, I don't know, anthropomorphically, I guess you could say, the whole land took on as if it was real. It said, you know what? I'm no longer giving forth, you know, my sheaves, and I'm no longer going to give forth the grapes. And the land decided, I'm not going to do anything anymore, so to speak. What do you mean? Oh, saying when he went to Israel.
About how, I don't understand how people fight over this. It's like the worst place. That, you know,
yeah. You corrupt the land. The land is corrupted. I mean, that's what it's going to be like. Okay, Allah Akla Eretz. Therefore, a curse will go on the land. Like Yeshmu Yosheba, all the people in the land are going to be destroyed. Okay, Charu Yosheba Arz and Nishra Anders Mizor. The land, the people that are living in the land are going to be scorched. They're going to be burned to a crisp, working in the field, hardened by the sun, with no rain. The point is, no rain, which means you can't grow anything, and there's drought after drought after drought. And the people that are going to survive there are going to be very few in number. You won't be able to live there. What are you going to be able to do? There's no water. There's no real natural water sources around, right? You have no land because there's no rain. For all the grapes are going to be destroyed. And because of that, the merry ones, all the people are that are happy, they're all going to sigh and they're going to groan and they're going to say, oy vey, we've got nothing left. All the joy of tupim, of all the drums, right, will all end. All the happy ones will stop. They're going to be destroyed. And all of the kinor, all of the lyres, everything is gone. No wine anymore. No singing in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything's going to be gone. Nobody has a reason to rejoice. There's nothing left. If you've ever read Grapes of Wrath, John Steinbeck, again, not suggesting the book happens to be a very boring book, but if you happen to have read the book or just to read it through, just think of those who lived in the Midwestern states when, in the mid-1800s, when everything went bad, and there was no rain for years on end, and that the land was literally just a scorched little bit of earth around the Dust Bowl, Oklahoma, etc., Arkansas, etc., right around that land. No one could sing. Everybody had to move over. They all went to California to become pickers and to do whatever they could to be able to find their gold, so to speak. And it wasn't easy for many people. No longer are they going to be able to drink wine, right, together with their meal and sing together. No longer are they going to have the beer. It's just going to be bitter to those who are drinking it. The city of desolation is totally broken. All the houses are closed, you know, closed that nobody can get in. They're screaming in the streets for wine. Bakhutz is in the middle of the streets. All of this simcha is going to be darkened. And all of the happiness of the land is now going to be gone. All happiness is going to be gone. People are going to scream in pain in the very same places where they drunk wine. That's the line over here. The land is going to be desolate. In the areas where they used to have parties, that's the areas where people are bloated of hunger and dying of thirst. All that's left in the city will be desolation. And the gates will be ruined completely. This is one of the lines in Bava Kamma that mentions that She'iyah, that when a house is abandoned, there are demons that take over the house. She'iyah Yukasar, the name of the demon that takes over the house, says the Rashi in Bava Kamma, in Chaf Beis, I think it is named She'iyah. Is it Chafala?
Here's this Chafala.
Chafala. Okay, so it's Chafala. She is named She'iyah. That is a demon that takes over that land. And so to speak, it destroys the houses where everybody else wants, you know, when everybody else leaves. Okay, and this is the it. So what's going to be with the remainder? What's going to be over here? This will happen over among all the lands in the world. In Kalabatsir, right? As one beats an olive tree, the gleanings after the harvest is over, that's what's going to be the rest of the people that are living in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it's going to be like. There's going to be so few people that are left at the end of days. And this is not just referring to Eretz Yisrael now. Now we're going to the whole world. The whole world will have so few nations left after the destruction that is brought to the entire land. There's going to be so few left. And at that point, they will get up. They're going to lift up their voices in the pride of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to sing Miyam all the way from the sea. Remember, we talked about this before. Yeshaya already said that in the times of the Geula, the future Geula, the time of that eventual redemption with Mashiach, there's going to be another Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a Kriyas Yamsuf that happens throughout the entire ocean, where those who deserve to be saved will go through the ocean to get to Eretz Yisrael. I know there's also going to be the eagle's wings, etc. But there's going to be something different where the Mediterranean Sea splits, the ocean splits. There's going to be a whole new Kriyas Yamsuf where everyone is going to sing the same way Az Yashir was sung by the Jews when they left Egypt. Okay, Ba'urim, Kabdu Hashem. Then with light, with ore, with all the lights they can get, they will honor God. Be'iyayam. In all the islands of the world, Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. There will be the name of God Elokei Yisrael. I just have a feeling that, I don't know why it's specifically talking about this, but if we're talking about a world desolation where the whole world is destroyed, and we're dealing with something where everybody is gone, if Chas V'Shalom this would have to happen, the only people that would survive are the people of the islands. Because the people of the islands are so far away from every other civilization, they're the only people who could possibly make it. I'm not saying even those people.
So says that there will be, you know...
Of course, if volcanoes erupt and that smoke gets in the sky, obviously, you know, eventually there will be.
It's going to get everybody.
You'd assume. Just saying, it's possible that only the main inhabited areas, the continents, would be affected, while not in certain other areas. I don't know. But this is the way it's wording, just the
that's why people want us to get to
Uganda. Uganda.
We should have gone to Madagascar. Not Uganda. But yeah,
Madagascar? Why, you just like lemurs. It's a good place.
What? Perfect location.
He hasn't been there yet. Wait. He hasn't been there yet.
Wait
next year.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about this earlier in...
No. What's going to happen by Mashiach and the Kriyas Yamsuf, etc.? Yeah, Perk Dalet. He does mention everything before. This is again going through. Again, this is the way I'm saying it. Every time he goes through a couple prakim of destruction, 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 he ends it off with, but there will be Mashiach. And it's going to be good. He rejoices again, and so we're going to get right back into it. And he's like, and then more people are going to die. So we're going to see that this is just like his big Miknat Ba'aretz. Now, this is a weird line. This whole pasuk is a strange pasuk. The Gemara goes through this quite a bit. From the ends of the earth, Zmiros Shamanu. I hear songs. This is when the land sung. The land sings a song of glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Piharik, the mouth of the land that swallowed up Dothan and Abiram by the times of Korah. That land will sing again. Shamanu Tzvi LaTzadik. We heard out loud that there should be Tzvi, there should be beauty for the Tzadik. I'm not going to say the line again. I'll just remind you of what I said before about the name Tzvi. But Omer Razi Li, God calls out and says, my secret is my own, my secret is my own. This is when the Malachim call out loud and they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why not let it happen now? Why does it have to be that it has to wait so long? Why are we waiting so long? And Hashem calls out loud, Razi Li, Razi Li. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, this is after Chizkiyahu had saved the people from Sanherib. Sanherib's whole army was destroyed. Chizkiyahu did not sing Shira. He did not sing the song. Therefore was not Mashiach. And this didn't happen for Chizkiyahu. At that moment, the Malachim called out loud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, who cares? Just bring Mashiach anyway. And comes out loud, comes along. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Razi Li, Razi Li, it's my secret, it's my secret. Oy Li, woe is to me. Bogdim Bagadu, the betrayers have betrayed, who begged Bogdim Bagadu. That the betrayers of the betrayers will then betray. After that, then Mashiach will come. And we have no idea what that means.
What the land says in Perek Shira.
That's what it says in Perek Shira. This is Mamre the line. This is their song. It sounds like a great song. It's gotta be a real deep voice though, you'd assume. The ground is singing. But either way, but we have no idea. But this is it. I mean, if anybody wants to know when Mashiach's coming, it's right here. Bogdim Bagadu Uveged Bogdim Bagadu. Five betrayers. That's what's going to happen. Pachad Bafachas Bafach Alecha Yoshev Aretz. There's going to be terror. There's going to be fear. There's going to be a trap upon those dwelling in the land. You should know. Pach Heches is a shame of another shade. It's mentioned, and that's the reason why Baruch Sha'amar has a total of 89 words. That it becomes, not 89, 87 words. It's Yoker Mipuz. It's supposed to be that it's supposed to be holy. Pach is a terrible amount, that it's something as if there's a destruction completely from within. Allah, that's going to be for those who are dwelling in the land. What? Pach now, in modern Hebrew, yeah. Those who run away from the cold, from the voice of those who are in fear. They're the ones who are going to fall into the pit. Those who run away from the pit will be trapped by the trap. All the windows of the sky will be opened up by Yashamos the earth, and at that moment the foundations of the earth are going to tremble. They say that this refers to three world powers, ancient world powers, Babel, Persia, and Greece, and that we're going to fall in those traps, not referring to Edom yet, that we were going to go through all of those traps, and there are different ideas of what's going to be. Roa Hisro'a'o, the land will be broken, Aretz. Hor Hisboiro, it's going to be crumbled, the Aretz. Motis Motis to Aretz, the land is going to collapse. Noah Tenua Aretz Kashikor, the land is going to sway like a drunkard. He's noted to come Aluna. It's going to move around like a treehouse. The Kavdala Pishah, the sins will be very great upon it. The Nafalosikum, it's going to fall, never get up again. This is referring to those lands. Babel is going to fall to Persia. Persia is going to fall to Greece. Greece will fall to Edom, and then Edom will have the land from then on. On that day, the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring an end to the earthly kingdoms and allow Mashiach to rule, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first is going to take down the Malachim up in Shemayim. And then on earth, then he'll take care of the kings on earth. Two more psukim will end with this. They will be gathered as prisoners, right? Just like they're gathered into a pit. Sugra Maskir, they're going to be locked in a cell. They're going to be released only after a long time. That could refer to what's going to be to them after death. It could be that it's referring to the nations, that the nations will be, you know, their nations will be desolate for a while. Greece never has returned to its old form, neither has Babylonia nor Persia. They have never had the power that they once had. That at some point there will be a release and there will be something that happens that allows them to go out. You're right. Maybe whatever you want to exile it to. Let's exile it to America right now. At some point that's going to go down as well. Hopefully not to China. The Kapra Alavana Uboshakama. At that moment, the moon will be darkened. The sun will be embarrassed. God will then be king on Hartzion Yerushalayim. And that's what it means, the moon and the sun will be darkened. The moon, as bright as it is, in comparison to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is nothing. Nothing. It's like dark. It's like pure blackness. The sun up in the sky, when it's midday and it's all out there, will be embarrassed by the amount of light that will shine forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina that will manifest itself in the world. And happens that the elders will be the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina. That's what's going to be on those days, and that's the end. That's the idea of what's going to be with Mashiach. Our next parak goes into the praise of what's going to be. He's going to watch over the most of Mashiach and say how awesome those days of Mashiach are going to be.